Sky. Why split the sky? We're starting a new series in the sanctuary at 9:30. It was Then Sings My Soul in the worship center, Sacred Soundtrack. And today, with the gift of jazz and the theme of Split the Sky, we begin a new series here during our 11. Why split the sky? It's a theme that brings us closer to God. It comes from an Edna St. Vincent Millay poem in part, which goes like this: the soul can split the sky in two and let the face of God shine through. We chose this theme because it doesn't feel like, because of what music can do to us. It can let the face of God shine through. And that's why the theme. And today, through the genre of jazz, we are going to be blessed. Blessed in incredible ways. All the music that you experience today comes from a place of great need. Even, perhaps even desperation. The timeless classics that you are going to experience today, and that can be part of church music every time we gather for worship, can be both cathartic as well as worshipful. There's a continuity of creative worship at 11, dedicated solely to our 11 worship experience. Music as far back as the 18th century is combined with lyrics and music from our own congregation. For example, Linda and Doty have written new lyrics to Amazing Grace that mirror our motto here at 11. Our motto, to be the 12th. We know that's our motto. We know that that's a life goal, be the 12th. And their contribution is folded in with a secular song from the early 20th century, as well as modern pop song by a Jewish-American singer-songwriter. These are the rich heritage that we're going to be exploring in Split the Sky. So engage, participate, be involved as God's Spirit involves you to, as we experience God's design, including what it means to split the sky and see the face of God. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we thank you for glimpses in which we can see your face. Glimpses in which, by your grace, by your word, by your gift of music, you draw us closer to you. In your name we pray.
Thank you, Pastor Gary. How's everybody doing today? You ready for worship? Oh, that's an energetic response. Sorry to wake you. Are you ready for worship today? There you go. Why don't we do this? This is a participatory service, as usual, so we're going to want you to sing. But first, you know what we'd really like to have you do? I'd like to have you all stand up, and with the same enthusiasm you just said you're ready for worship, greet one another. And then would you do this? Come a little closer. It feels like us versus them. Come on down a little farther, will you?
Lord, who cares? my feeble life is o'er. Time for me will be no more. Grab me gently, safely o'er to thy kingdom shore, to the shore. Yeah. Just a closer walk with thee. You know these words. Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let me be, dear Lord, let it be.
Oh, let's do that one again. Here we go, let's do it again. Just a close walk with thee.
I can't hear you.
Seated, I'm going to do a little reflecting on this song that truly stirs our soul and splits the sky for us as we trust that perhaps we've seen a keener glimpse of God. So both this song, Closer Walk with Thee, and the song we're going to sing next, Amazing Grace, are ways in which they both have similar yet desperate or disparate, I should say, connotations. Hope and the end of life. Hope and the end of life, both contained within both. Either one can boost our faith in God. Either one can demonstrate the struggle of life and draw us closer into the arms of God. Either one and both do that for us. The precise author of A Closer Walk with Thee was unknown until recently. Although Peterson claimed that was not the case, circumstantial evidence strongly suggested it dated back to a Southern African-American church in the 19th century, possibly even prior to the Civil War. As some personal African-American histories recall, slaves singing as they worked in the fields, a song about walking by God's side. Horace Boyer cites a story that repudiates this claim, stating, on a train trip from Kansas City to Chicago, Morris exited the train on one of the stops to get some fresh air and heard one of the station porters singing a song. He paid little attention at first, but after he reboarded the train, the song remained with him and it became so prominent in his mind that at the very next stop, he left the train, took another train back to the earlier station, and asked the porter to sing the song once again. Morris wrote down the words and music and published the song, A Closer Walk with Thee. That year was 1940. Adding a few lyrics of his own to provide a little more breath, within 2 years, the song became standard in gospel music, eventually becoming a standard in jazz, and then moving into the realm of American folk music, known and sung and loved by oh so many, including us. Some scripture references that really are foundational for a closer walk with thee are 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. We walk by faith, not sight. And in James chapter 4, verse 8, come near to God, and he will come near to you. So we have some handouts that are available if you want. And then also in your prayer and action guide, there are some scriptural references for music that we're going to be using. Interestingly enough, I don't think there's enough for everybody. Pick them up as you leave. Interestingly enough, as we think about A Closer Walk with Thee, the backstory for Amazing Grace by John Newton is incredible. We all know Amazing Grace, right? We know that song. Most of us do, right? We've sung it, especially at funerals, right? But interestingly, this too, like Closer Walk with Thee, has both hope and end-of-life connotation. If you're going to really appreciate the backstory for Amazing Grace, in just a moment, we're going to use it as a confessional song. So we want to make the connection between John Newton's story and your story. Then know this about John Newton's story. He was born way back in 1725 in London. His mom was a Puritan. She was a devout Christian. She read the Bible to him. She taught him how to pray. But at age seven, when he was age seven, his mom died. His father was rather tyrannical, ruled with an iron fist, took his son, he was a seaman, took his son to sea with him at age 11. His life went downhill. He drank. Maybe it was a survival technique. Maybe he just didn't love himself very much, but he lived wild lifestyle, and he must have been a rather despicable character because none of the people could stand him. He was pressed into service into the Navy, the British Navy, and he tried to desert. They flogged him unmercifully, and they demoted his rank. He was reviled by most of the people that he served with. There was a storm at sea, and there's varying accounts on what happened during the storm. Some say that John Newton was washed overboard. Some say maybe he had a little help going overboard. But he went overboard, and instead of throwing him a life preserver or some flotation device, they used a harpoon to bring him back. Not just threw it to him, they threw it at him. And they harpooned him in the leg and drug him back onto the ship. And from that time on, John Newton walked with a limp. He still wasn't liked very much by those he served with. In fact, he was released from his commission, and he was given to a person who had a slave ship. And he was treated as harshly on the slave ship as the slaves. Well, over the course of time, he rose in rank and he became the captain of a slave ship. This is John Newton, the hymn writer. Captain of a slave ship. He still lived a crazy life. And there was another storm at sea in which John Newton was sure he was going to die. There was a hole created in the hull of the ship, and he knew the ship was going to go down. He was enough of a seaman to know there wasn't much hope, if any at all. And so he prayed to God, the God his mother had taught him about when he was just a child. He prayed to God that God would somehow find a way to spare him. Miraculously, the cargo in the ship shifted and covered the hole in the hull, and they were able to make it to shore. That moment, John Newton says, he realized it was by God's grace he was saved. Gave his life to Christ, but it still took him another 34 years. He started reading his Bible. He started kind of gradually coming along, but it wasn't until 34 years later that he began to actively pursue putting an end to the slave trade. During that course of time, God had put it on his heart to become a pastor. But because of his despicable past, he was denied repeatedly. Finally, he was allowed to become a pastor. And at the church he served, they wrote a new hymn or a new song for every Saturday night worship. So John Newton, by the gift of music that God had given to him, began to compose song, lyrics in particular. Some of the hymn tunes he borrowed from others, but he composed the lyrics and he wrote songs for Saturday night worship that have become down through the ages. 280 hymns are credited to him, many of which we know and love today and that we will get to experience The most amazing of those is probably Amazing Grace. That grace that saved a wretch like John Newton. And he knew that he had gone through many dangers, toils, and snares, and it was grace that led him safely home. So as we sing together, Amazing Grace, allow Amazing Grace to be a song of confession. For just as God spared John Newton and allowed him to use his gifts, God-given gifts for the good of others, God allows us to experience his amazing grace. For all of us are in need of God's forgiveness. All of us are in need of that grace. Allow this to be a confessional song.
Thank you, Pastor. A few months ago, we asked our liturgists, Dodie and Linda, if they could write new lyrics for Amazing Grace, that lyrics that would reflect our motto, as Pastor said, of be the 12th. I think they succeeded magnificently, and we're going to do those today. We're going to start with the traditional verse of Amazing Grace. And just like John Newton, we're going to borrow the music from another source to keep it fresh.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see.
Hallelujah.
Gracious God, we humbly come before you asking forgiveness for not always accepting your grace. We oftentimes acted as though we know what's best and fail to look to the word or listen to your voice. When we only rely on the gifts you have given us, we ignore your greatest gift, forgiveness and salvation through Christ. Not remembering to lean on and learn from Christ leaves us lost so many times.
forgive us, and remind us of your amazing grace that we might share it with the world. Amen. Storms have raged across this land. Too many from inside. In faith I set my heart to you. For me, I know you died. Hallelujah. The noise of war flies all around, and heightens all the hate and fear. You, God, our peace is found. Your grace alone we
Today's scripture is Psalm 150. If you want to follow along, it's on page 983 of the Pew Bible. You understand that these psalms were all hymns, and this beautiful hymn features the Hebrew word for hallelujah 12 times that the modern translation renders as praise hymn. So here then, this powerful prayer of worship that instructs us to praise God with joy and with music. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Go ahead, Jim, praise him with a little bit. There you go. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. There you go. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
All right.
Amen. I love when worship comes to life. For that's the purpose of God's gift of music, to bring the life that God has given us out of us, and to praise God for the life that he's given us as a gift, to praise God. And in the process of praising, articulating our prayers, our thanks, our gratitude, of listening to God at the same time, that spiritual conversation that goes on through the gift of music. Approach My Soul is a lesser known song, at least the lyrics that John Newton composed, but one that we've been singing regularly here at 11. Newton had originally asked for mercy from a storm. You heard the background of that mercy plea. Here he puts us in the place of one who can rest easy in the presence of God's mercy. So often in life, we are fearful, are we not? Experience those moments in which fear has been a companion, moments when we need to seek God's mercy. But as our series on the Beatitudes reminds us, Jesus' words from the Sermon on the Mount in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." That's the background to John Newton's hymn, "Approach My Soul."
Approach my soul, the mercy seat. There Jesus answers prayer. There humbly fall before his feet. For none can perish there. For none can perish there. Thy promise is my only plea.
Sing it with this, church.
With this I venture nigh. Thou callest burdened souls to thee. And such, O Lord, am I. And such, O Lord, am my promise grace.
grace receive. Till Jesus speaks, I must, I will. I can, I do believe. I can, I do.
Dear Lord, we pray that those lips sung might part from our lips this day. I can, I do believe, as a gift of mercy, your mercy. Lord, as we have approached you today, and you have approached our souls, we would implore you by your mercy to speak to us. And as your community, your 11 community, who desire to be the 12th, then, dear Lord, let us be your agents of mercy, even as you have graciously extended your mercy to us. Precious Lord, take my hand. Thomas Dorsey, the composer of Precious Lord, Take My Hand, is known as the father of black gospel music. There was a time when that music was associated with him. It was called the Dorseys. It was earlier in his life portrayed by a pianist known as Georgia Tom, Thomas Dorsey. So Dorsey combines gospel music with Christian praise and rhythms of jazz, as well as the blues. What a gift, what a talent. His conception also deviates from what has been, to that time, standard hymnal practice by referring explicitly to the self and its relationship to faith and to God. So that you might better appreciate the depth of Dorsey's song, his hymn, Precious Lord. Know that it's based on Matthew chapter 14, verses 30 through 31. Refers to a time in Peter's life when he needed to take Jesus' hand because he was sinking. Back in 1932, when Thomas Dorsey was only 32 years old and a fairly new husband, he writes this: "My wife Nettie and I were living in a little apartment here in Chicago's South Side. One hot August afternoon, I had to go to St. Louis, where I was to be the featured soloist at a large revival meeting. I didn't want to go. Nettie was in the last month of pregnancy with our very first child, but a lot of people were expecting me in St. Louis, so I kissed Nettie goodbye, clattered downstairs to our Model A, and in a fresh Lake Michigan breeze, I chugged out of Chicago on Route 66. However, outside the city, I discovered that in my anxiety of leaving, I'd forgotten my music case. I wheeled around and headed back. I found Nettie sleeping peacefully. I hesitated by her bed. Something was strongly telling me to stay, but eager to get on my way and not wanting to disturb Nettie, I shrugged off the feeling and quietly slipped out of my room with my music. The next night, in the steamy St. Louis heat, the crowd called on me to sing again and again. When I finally sat down, a messenger boy ran up with a Western Union telegram. I ripped open the envelope, pasted on the yellow sheet were the words, "Your wife just died." People were happily singing and clapping all around me, but I could hardly keep from crying. I rushed to a phone and called home. All I could hear at the other end was, "Nettie is dead. Nettie is dead." When I got back, I learned that Nettie had given birth to a baby boy. I swung between grief and joy. Yet that night, the grief overwhelmed me as our baby boy died too. I buried Nettie and our little boy together in that same casket. And then I fell apart. For days, I closeted myself. I felt that God had done me a great injustice. I didn't want to serve him anymore or write any more gospel songs. I just wanted to go back to that jazz world I knew so well. But then as I hunched alone in that dark apartment on those first sad, dark days, I thought back to the afternoon I went to St. Louis. Something kept telling me to stay with Nettie. Was that something God? Or if only I'd paid more attention to God that day, I would have stayed and I would have been with Nettie when she died. From that moment on, I vowed to listen more closely. But I was still lost in grief. Everyone was so kind to me, especially my professor, who seemed to know what I needed. On the following Saturday evening, he took me to Malone College, a neighborhood music school. It was quiet. The late evening sun crept through the curtained windows. I sat down at the piano. My hands began to browse over the keys. Something happened to me then. I felt a sudden strange peace. I felt as though I could reach out and touch God. I found myself playing a melody. Once into my head, the words just seemed to fall into place. "Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. I'm tired. I'm weak. I'm worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord. Lead me home."
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am weak, I am tired, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows too drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry. Take my hand, precious love, lead me home.
sing with us. Here we go.
When the darkness appears and the night draws near and the day is past and gone, at the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious love, lead me on. Precious love, lead me on. Oh, oh, oh.
When we come and experience God's gift of grace through the gift that God provides through Holy Communion, it is really God stretching his hand out to us with the invitation, take my hand. And so we implore in our hearts, precious Lord, take my hand. That's what communion is. This gift given us by God. It's God allowing us, our precious Lord, to take him by the hand. It was in that spirit that Jesus took and blessed the bread and placed it in the hands of his disciples, their precious Lord, stretching out his hands, the hands that would be pierced with nails for their sake, for their forgiveness, for their salvation. He wanted the bread to help them understand that this was his body broken for them, for their forgiveness, for their life. It was in that spirit that he invited them to take and eat and do this in remembrance of them. It was in that same spirit that he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to his disciples, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This is your precious Lord. Take me by the hand. He invites us to do this in remembrance of him, knowing that he always stretches his hands out to us. We pray that prayer that our precious Lord taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Before we receive this gift from God, I think you are well aware that each and every song has been intentionally designed through God's gift of jazz, God's gift of music, to split the sky for us this day. Every song that we have sung, every word composed, is designed not only to split the sky and allow us to see the glimpse the face of God, but also to implore us to be the 12th, to go and share that grace and share that mercy and that extended hand of God's to others. Such also is the spirit in which we will sing together, pass me not, O gentle Savior, composed by Fanny Crosby. Many of you are aware that Fanny Crosby was blinded at the age of 6. And she began, by God's grace, composing music even as early as age 6. She began her study of music at age 12 at the New York School for the Blind, a school she later served as a teacher. But want you to know that not only did God gift her with the gift of music, but God gifted Fanny Crosby with a love for her Savior, Jesus Christ. The text, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior," is based on the biblical plea of the beggar reaching out to Christ. As we think about those blind men in the gospel who reached out their hands to Christ, and putting herself in a place of suffering, a place where she was often disregarded, Crosby understood that some who had been so rejected understood best what it meant to place one's faith in Christ, the one who would never pass anyone by. Christ's actions, in so many cases experienced by Fanny Crosby, bore witness that God cares for those who are otherwise forgotten, including women, including Samaritans, including lepers, including the blind, who are deemed outcasts by their world. And so today, as we receive this gift from God, this incredible gift of God's, we do so in the spirit of the song, "Pass Me Not By, Precious Savior." Today, as you come to receive, our communion servants will come up here, and they are prepared to serve you as you come. And we want our communion servants to come forward at this time. As they come, and then as we sing, as you come, know that the bread is provided for you, and that if you desire to have gluten-free, just ask for it. As you dip the bread into the wine, it will be the dark-colored liquid, or the grape juice, the light-colored liquid. You can receive this gift of God in this special way this day. And if you've not yet received preparation, simply cross your arms in front of you and we'll give you a special blessing. There are bowls here for your offerings so that even as you have been blessed by God's amazing grace, you might be blessed by the gift of generosity, expressing your gratitude to the God who loves us and extends his mercy and his precious hand to us. Come as you are able to receive this gift from God.
Gentle Savior, do not pass me by while another's thou art calling. Do not pass me Savior, Savior,
trusting.
Trusting only in thy mercy.
Just as Fanny Crosby knew that her precious Savior would never pass her by, so we are invited to be the 12th, so that those whom God sends into our world, we would not pass by, but rather we would serve them as the 12th. So Jesus has taken us on a journey today through the gift of jazz and through the gift of Scripture, and we have taken a closer walk with Jesus. We've allowed our precious Lord to extend his hand to us. We've experienced God's amazing grace. We've come together as the people of God in order that we might be the 11th, in order that we might be sent to be the 12th. And so in that spirit, we pray together our closing prayer. Today, Lord, with joyous hearts, we affirm we carry your love for all people everywhere in our hearts. We pledge ourselves to be your hands and feet. We commit to looking for those who are hurting. We promise to make a difference in your name. We consecrate our lives in service to you. We pray that you'll direct our steps. We are your people, Lord. We are the 12th. Another name for the 12th is God's saints. We are forgiven sinners who by God's amazing grace are made saints. And so as we restore the sanctuary and as we go to be the 12th, be the saints of God that God has forgiven you and called you to be.
Go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, oh, in the hallelujah day, oh, on that hallelujah day, oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. Play it, band. I marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in on that hallelujah day, hallelujah day. Oh, on that hallelujah day, I want to be in that number. On that hallelujah day, when the saints, oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, oh,
they don't want to go home, Pastor Gary. Let's do it all over again. Come on.
Go and be the 12th as we restore the sanctuary. Thank you.